Welcome to Smart Marks Podcast.
Welcome to the Smart Marks Podcast. Your weekly look into all things professional wrestling. No matter if it happens in a square circle, an Aztec temple, or a six-sided ring. Here to lay the smackdown on your ear holes are your hosts, the Smart Marks, Matt Salgado and Jeremy.
All right, Marks. Welcome back. It's another week. It's another preview episode of the Smart Marks Podcast. We've got yet another event coming on. It's like they almost plan them every 2 weeks. It's weird the way that happens, right?
It's really odd. 2 weeks between special events. I don't know what's going on. It seems
such
like
a coincidence,
they want,
isn't it?
It seems like they want our money.
You know what? And I bet they do. I bet they do. And they couldn't want our money. That doesn't make any sense. I'm Jeremy J. Vader 82 on Twitter. Across town from me is my co-host, Matt Salgado.
Yo, Mateo 83 on the Twitters.
Sitting across the country from us,
good Lord,
is host this of the Trophy Whores podcast, Tricky Mick. What's up, Trick?
What's up? It's Tricky Mick on Twitter.
Tricky Mick on Twitter. Tricky Mick. What's your name on PSN again?
Tricky
is it Tricky
Mick?
Yeah. Yes. I think this is where we set the record for
brand person, unification.
Person who has been the furthest away from us in a remote on a show ever before.
Yep.
Tricky is way on the East Coast right now. He's probably like in 22 degree weather dealing with the polar vortex. And I like to get scientific on your ass every now and then. But
fucking nerd.
All I need to know is that it's cold.
It is really cold over there. And today it was 75 in New Mexico. So just,
God, it was hot as balls here for winter.
Am I allowed to curse on your show? Am I allowed to curse on this show?
Oh, absolutely.
Come on. Have you not heard me already?
All right. Well, if it was 75 of you, fuck you.
Yeah. It was crazy. It started off like cold today. I got out. I had frost on my windshield and everything. Went out and started the car. Got the kids bundled up. And by 10 o'clock, it was 70 degrees.
No, that's always the case.
Baby.
Yeah. It's like the temperature will drop to like 25 here, you know, at the least. And then it warms up like 40 to 50 degrees. It is insane. You start the day off wearing a sweater and you end the day like at 5 o'clock, like sweating your ass off in your
fucking
car.
Fucking shorts.
Because your heater's on. And you're like, what am I doing sitting in traffic with this heater on?
Right?
Yeah, it's nuts. So
I keep two jackets in the car just because the weather changes so much. I got a damn lightweight and a heavyweight just in case. Fuck this town.
That's great. It seems that's good weather for you.
Yeah.
So I had something on the top of my head to talk about at the very beginning of the show.
Your bald
this
spot.
Intro, besides that. If everybody, this is you know,
all
we
of
got
us.
We got a pretty good crew here. So the bald jokes commence.
I got to reseat it. My hairline is afraid of my forehead, so it keeps running away.
I got the same problem.
You know, I tried to grow mine back, and it was so thin. I was like, I'm done. Forget
you know,
this. I don't know who I'm kidding.
You know, I saw you on Saturday, and I got to talk to you for a little bit, and you brought that up to me, and I didn't have it in my heart to tell you that was a bad idea.
Yeah, it was a futile effort. It's like the Cowboys trying to beat the Giants. It just wasn't happening.
No,
I hope you're happy. I hope you're happy that I threw that in there, Trick.
Hope. Yeah. How about them Cowboys?
Trick's in New York, and I'm a diehard Cowboys fan. So
I'm not a Cowboys fan, but
hey Jeremy, just so you know, you can't spell Dallas without two L's.
Yeah, but if you turn those L's around, they're 11. So,
oh,
that's pretty nice.
That's a nice comeback. I'll give you that one. I'll let you enjoy some simple victory from this past weekend.
Right.
So I'm very excited to have Tricky on here because he has been wanting to be on the show for quite a while for now, begging for one of us to be sick so he can fill in. And that hasn't been the case.
It could have been the case last week, but somehow an 11-year-old won out over me.
You know, the 11-year-old was
how that happened.
He was number one on the waivers list, so he's been waiting in the wings for like a good 2 years now to be on the
yeah.
show.
He sounded excited.
We were supposed to bring him on long time ago.
So that was awesome. So hey, it's a wrestling podcast. Let's talk about some wrestling. And
hey, let's do that.
had a lot of good good action going on. Of course, as usual, Lucha Underground, you know, pretty much what we kick off the show with. Last week's NXT, I'm skipping right over Lucha Underground, obviously, for some reason, because last week on NXT, they showed the match between Samoa Joe and Shinsuke Nakamura that occurred in Osaka, Japan, where Nakamura regained his championship. Overall, after watching the match, I did enjoy the match. But to me, it didn't really feel as far as, like, epic, you know, like, oh, my God, this match is amazing. So I don't know. Maybe that's just me because I'm used to the Nakamura Samoa Joe matches being super epic that maybe I'm just, you know, a little maybe I was expecting too much. The Osaka Japan crowd was amazing and they absolutely went nuts when Nakamura regained that title. But maybe it's just me. I don't know if anybody else thinks the same thing or not. Jeremy, I don't know.
It was good, but I agree with you. That bar was set kind of high. But I just, the crowd reaction alone and having him win it back in Japan made total sense to me. It just made everything come full circle. It explained to us why we got Joe winning when we expected him to lose and move on. And it just kind of, I don't know, it was a good finish to that story. You're right, though. Like, those matches are normally balls to the wall. This one was, you know, if the dial goes up to 11, this one was probably on 8.
Yeah, maybe I think we're just like, maybe we're just so used to those matches being, you know, insane. Yeah, and absolutely just jaded by the fact that, like, you know, this is what occurs. So maybe if it was like a different card or, you know, a different show altogether, and maybe had we not even known that was going to happen, maybe we'd have been able to appreciate it a little bit more or maybe been a little bit more excited. But I mean, nonetheless, I'm still pretty jacked that Nakamura is a champion again. And that kind of fixes what I think Tricky got really upset over one time when Samoa Joe regained the title in the first place.
Well, let's be clear about something. I wasn't upset that Joe won the title because I think Joe is a good champion. What I don't understand is how, and you know, I'm a little different from you guys. Like, I'm not that big into it, but I'm big into wrestling. What I just didn't understand was, to give Joe the honor of being the first two-time champion, and now what it seems like a week or two later, you're giving Nakamura the same thing. That distinction to me, I think, should have gone to somebody that was NXT, where Nakamura, he was famous outside of NXT. Joe was famous inside of TNA. They were already established characters. If you're going to give that honor, give that honor to somebody like Sami Zayn or Finn Balor or somebody that, you know, was born and bred inside of NXT. So, like, I don't have a problem with Joe. Joe is a phenomenal wrestler to me. I just feel like if you're going to give that honor to somebody, and not only give that honor to somebody, but you're going to give that honor to two people within a month time, it should have been somebody that NXT bred.
You know, and that's kind of been on the back of my mind too. Like the fact that we went the longest time without having a 2-time NXT champion, and with that kind of being like as far as put out to be kind of a big deal, you know, as far as having a multi-time, you know, NXT champion, and for it to happen twice in 1 month, it kind of devalues, I think, the title of that. But at the same time, too, I mean, I'm totally okay with it going back to Nakamura. And, I mean, who else would it go to? I don't think anybody else is even on the roster as a former NXT champion at the moment now. So, and I was even, I mean, thinking about it to myself as well. Is like, is there anybody else on the roster besides Samoa Joe and Nakamura that could possibly even be champion, with the exception of Bobby Roode, which I feel like it's probably going to be our next champion. So they're going to have to go through and, you know, build up somebody, you know, somebody on the roster to be that next big guy. Because obviously with this Samoa Joe loss, maybe we do get, you know, looking into the future, maybe we do get that last match for Joe on NXT at the NXT TakeOver before the Rumble. And that's his send off. And guess what? The next night's the Rumble. And guess who shows up in the Rumble? Tricky's wet dream. Samoa Joe in the Royal Rumble.
Well, I thought he was actually gonna premiere at Survivor Series, but when he won at TakeOver Toronto, I knew he wasn't gonna premiere on Survivor Series. But to me, I just like, I want to see Joe moved up because can I sidetrack you guys for a second, because I want to bring an idea to you guys, and like, to me, I feel like Vince McMahon is trying to hold anybody that was TNA and punish them, because it seems like everybody except for AJ Styles that was TNA, they're being shoved into NXT. And that not that that's a bad thing, but there's some high-quality talent. I mean, Eric Young, Bobby Roode, Austin Aries, Samoa Joe, all these guys are big names in TNA. I think any of them could have gone to the main roster at any time and been successful.
Easily,
but
yeah.
I feel like Vince, you know, because I know NXT is run by, essentially it's run by Triple H, but I feel like Vince, you know, Vince obviously has the overall say. I think Vince is like trying to punish all these wrestlers for saying, "Are you with the TNA? All right, go sit in NXT for a year."
Yeah, basically like, oh, you got over with the fans, you know, on your own, really. And I think that's the case with most TNA guys or even most indie guys is like, when you're working for a smaller company like that, you don't have the power of that company to kind of put you over with the fans. And it's more so who's popular with the fans is what works in those companies. So it's like the same idea of like the Ty Dillinger or even to a lesser extent the Zack Ryder is like, if he doesn't create the road for that success for you, then he kind of resents it because it wasn't his creation. It was, you know, something that was done without his power. And same thing with Samoa Joe. I mean, Joe, now we think about it, has been there in NXT for quite a while. And for somebody with Joe's
over a year now
to be there for that long is really surprising, you know. So I know Joe's probably definitely itching at the fact to get on that main roster. And I feel like it's going to happen really soon.
He's going to be there soon.
Yeah, I feel like on SmackDown, like that title picture, as fun as it is, I mean, we had Dolph Ziggler as a number one contender, but when you think about it, Dolph Ziggler is your number one contender. And no slight to Dolph, but you think of the other people that happened in that match, or like, you know, Luke Harper, which I love, but and The Miz and Dean Ambrose.
Luke Harper's not a title picture guy.
But that's our top guys on SmackDown. I think SmackDown could definitely benefit from somebody of Samoa Joe's caliber to show up on that roster and go through there and cause havoc. So that's my pick. I think if Joe does show up, he's going to show up and be on SmackDown. I feel that's the only way. And plus, he's a total like Daniel Bryan kind of a guy. You know, they both had some amazing matches in Ring of Honor and in Indies. So that'd be really cool to see like Joe kind of working for Daniel Bryan, because Bryan would totally understand, you know, as far as, you know, what to do with Joe. And however much power that Brian has, but more of insight to kind of like guide him along, I think. I think that'd be the right show for him.
I agree. That show is definitely, you know, I originally was predicting him to show up on Raw and kind of be the guy to beat Braun Strowman. And I could even see, you know, him eliminating Braun Strowman during the Rumble if he ends up on Raw. But his style fits with SmackDown so much better. He's one of those guys that just is, he's phenomenal in the ring. It's balls to the wall when he gets in there. He's not your typical WWE style guy where it's that slow and steady wins the race kind of wrestling. He didn't even transition to that in NXT. He stayed in the same, you know, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to beat people up and it's going to be a fast paced match. And that fits extremely well with the guys on SmackDown. Of course, we're going to run the risk of getting him and AJ Styles against each other and just get kind of a rehash of an old rivalry. But again, in a new light, in a new company, that could actually flourish. As far as the guys in NXT, you know, I agree with Trick. It is kind of odd that they all get pushed down there on one side. But then you look at it and I feel like we would have probably had a lot of those guys brought into the main roster if we hadn't completely depleted NXT before they were signed. We ended up with guys like Apollo Crews, Sami Zayn. I mean, you name it. That whole roster was just plucked. I mean, Baron Corbin, yeah. The Vaude Villains.
Kalisto, even to a lesser extent.
The Vaude Villains.
American Alpha.
American Alpha.
The talent pool got rated like
bad.
Bad.
And
yeah.
I feel like they had no choice almost other than to pluck from the indies to replenish NXT, because I don't think that they were ready and they had a class ready. Like they were prepared. I don't think they were prepared to bring those guys up the way they should have. There was nobody in the Performance Center class that was really ready to go and were established. They didn't build in a transition group. So I kind of feel like they dug themselves a hole to where their only choice was to put those guys on NXT. And then now they're trying to fight and find a way to get those guys off of NXT without doing the exact same thing again.
I mean, I can understand that, but
I see what you're saying. Definitely.
It, and we all know Vince's ego. Vince, yeah.
Vince doesn't have an ego.
Vince has the ego.
No.
So
who the hell are you talking about?
Take so, that like, back, me, Tricky.
So,
not my Vince.
Please, you're Vince. It just seems like even when Eric Young came in, had that one match against Samoa Joe, yep. And then he disappeared for a long time. And then now he's back and he's doing Sanity. And can I just say, I love Sanity's music.
Fuck. I love that whole gimmick.
That music just gets me pumped. But I like Eric Young, and I got a sort of crush on Nikki Cross. Something about crazy chicks like Nikki Cross and Harley Quinn. Whew.
Something about crazy dirty chicks.
Oh my God!
It's Tricky's motor running.
Look, I got the Suicide Squad over there, and I started watching it today, just for Harley Quinn. But anyway, it's just like to me, it just seems like there's like even I want to put a prediction out there, and like I hope I'm not right, but how much you want to bet that if what I think is going to happen is TNA is basically going to fail, that we get the Hardy Boys back over to WWE, but instead of going to the main roster, they're going to be shoved down to NXT.
I don't know. I honestly think that we might be able to get them back, and they may be the ones to throw off the New Day.
Yeah, I think if anything,
I don't think
happens,
it's going to happen that quick.
I think
no. I'm saying maybe Mania around that time.
I don't even think it's going to be that quick.
I have to side with Jeremy because Vince, you know, and you mentioned that ego that he has. He will pull no punches. He will go all out if he can to make Mania, and make, you know, what are we at, 33 this year?
Yep.
And so, you know, New Day is going to have those titles probably going on 550 days, and what better way to do it with, you know, the biggest name outside of WWE to make, you know, to make an impact, you know, broken Matt Hardy, who has this character in TNA that is not only just in TNA anymore, like he's going all over the world. He's going to England with the same character. He's now going to Ring of Honor with the same character. He's not breaking the gimmick, you know, he's
Chile.
Switching it up. And he's gone to Chile. He's gone to South America with this broken Matt Hardy character, which people absolutely love. So,
but you also got to remember that Vince didn't create the broken character. So therefore, he may hold him back because I didn't create this.
I think he's smart enough, though. You know, all ego aside, to strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah,
that's a hot product right now, and it's something that has actually almost resurrected. I'm not going to say it financially resurrected TNA, but it at least resurrected interest in TNA.
It's kept them going. It's kept them afloat. You know.
So while we're on the subject of Matt Hardy, I want to read these tweets. Matt Hardy sent out a series of tweets challenging people for tomorrow night's nonstop deletion or tonight's nonstop deletion, depending on if you're listening.
If you're listening to the show when it comes out tonight.
So Matt Hardy tweeted and said, "With Apocalypto on the horizon, I want top tier tag teams to know they're welcomed. Formal invitations coming." Next tweet was, "I formally invite Meek Mayhans, Raw Champs, the Day of the New to Total Nonstop Deletion. Brother Nero and I must face these men." Next tweet, "I formally invite Meek Man, SmackDown Live Champs, the family of Wyatts to Nonstop Deletion. Our universes must collide. I formally invite the man with three H's and the kid who breaks hearts, the ex-degenerates to Total Nonstop Deletion. I formally invite the Express that rock and rolls, Ricky and Robert. I formally invite the most R superstar and the most charismatic captain in non-fighting man." Oh, no, it was a fan. A fan tweeted him and said, "What about the most R superstar and the most charismatic captain in a non-fighting manner, of course?" And Matt Hardy replied to that fan and said, "They are formally invited to Total Nonstop Deletion, but they must fight. I will beg upon the seven deities to replenish their vessels for Apocalypto." And he said, "Since Bautista," not Batista, he called him by his real name, "Bautista, has shown great interest in Total Nonstop Deletion's affairs, I formally invite him to and the Obsolete Evolution to Apocalypto. I formally invite the connection of the rock and the connection of the sock. Their presence at Apocalypto would be utterly electrifying. And at one point, the Wyatts, Bray Wyatt actually replied back to him and said, "You know where to find us."
That is amazing.
So, yeah, so Matt Hardy is selling the shit out of this Total Nonstop Deletion.
So he mentioned Batista talking to them? Was that something that I missed?
I guess Batista's been tweeting a lot about Total Nonstop Deletion and how excited he is to see it.
That is awesome. That's cool when you have like former guys, you know.
Yeah.
That are doing bigger things now.
we saw the reaction videos and everything for the first it wasn't Delete or Declare, it was Final Deletion.
Yeah.
Everybody was watching it and everybody was talking about it. We're going to get the same thing this weekend and there's no way we're not. Like, it's going to be huge. Total Nonstop Deletion is going to be something that even if it's just the guys in the locker room that talk about it, like, it's going to get a ton of attention.
Yeah. Oh no. I mean, we've been watching, you know, every broken Matt Hardy great performance so far. So definitely Total Nonstop Deletion is going to be an amazing episode. Apocalypto is going to be fun to watch tomorrow night or tonight.
Matt, we have free tickets to Star Wars tomorrow night, and I'm more excited about Apocalypto.
I'm liking Apocalypto so far. I'm not going to go that far.
I don't know, man. Like, I was kind of bummed when I realized they were on the same day. I was like, I got to watch this recorded.
It is Star Wars.
It's Star Wars. Jeremy knows my fascination. So if it's like,
oh, and I'm right there.
If there is anything that's going to be, if there's anything I'm ever going to choose over wrestling, it's going to be Star Wars.
This one, the guy that's about to sign a $30,000 contract to buy a Star Wars vehicle.
Yes.
That doesn't sound crazy to me at all.
So an interesting thing happened Saturday night.
No, not in wrestling ever.
It wasn't really wrestling, but
oh, what are we talking?
SNL.
Ah,
John Cena. SNL. Did you get a chance to watch it at all?
I did.
Yeah. Overall impression.
I only caught half of it.
It was good. He was really funny. I enjoyed all of it. I liked it a lot, and I liked that they didn't really go like when we've had The Rock on there back in the day. It was a lot of wrestling stuff. Recently, when we've had The Rock on there, there was some wrestling stuff. There was really no wrestling skits at all with John Cena. There was some football. I mean, he played Gronkowski, which was his Gronkowski.
Oh, his Gronkowski was great, yeah.
The Alabama skit was probably my favorite, where he was playing the football player from Alabama. Yeah. He was good, man. He's got some acting chops, especially some comedy chops. It was really good. I love the stuff in the opening monologue with him and Leslie Jones.
Leslie and Bobby Moynihan and who else was it? I can't. Oh, Keenan.
Keenan, yeah. Well, you remember there was some commercials and some videos going back and forth with him and Leslie before the ESPYs. Oh, she was trying to get him ready for the ESPYs, and she kept hitting on him and stuff.
Yeah, I highly enjoyed the episode. It was one of the first. It was the first episode I've watched since I think the Dave Chappelle episode. And so it was fun to kind of. And I might be a little bit biased. I mean, I do like John Cena. And I thought he did a great job. I thought the show was really funny. And, you know, even the Karate Kid skit, you know, the little digital skit that he did was so good. And then Dykes and Fats. That skit is amazing. I loved it. I love that skit just in general. And just the simple fact that he got I think that's only the second time that they've done one. And it's Kate McKinnon and Edie Bryant. I mean, they're two of my favorite comedians. I think they're hilarious. So it was really funny.
Kate McKinnon's great.
Yeah, and so it was really funny to see them do that, and then John Cena's the chief, you know. He drops the broad's word, and that's what sets them off. So it was a really good episode. I had to rewatch it on Hulu because I think my wife and I were watching it. Like, we rented a movie. I can't remember what movie we rented, but
I just watched it last night
I had totally forgot, and I was like, oh, crap, we missed SNL. And so it was nice to watch it on Hulu because, you know, less commercial breaks. Pretty right. Interesting. So, no, I mean, that's pretty awesome. And
so, he's coming back in 2 weeks. I got announced yesterday that he's going to be back in 2 weeks on SmackDown. Last night, because it's in Chicago, last night a fan tweeted to CM Punk and said, "Are you showing up in Chicago to ruin John Cena's return?" And Punk replied back to him and said, "Yes, but it's secret. Please keep it kayfabe."
Nice.
So I loved the smart ass, you know, they have him. He's not really that kind of guy to reply back to fans like that, especially other than to tell them they're stupid. So yeah. For him to actually comment on it, I thought was really funny.
Yeah. So we mentioned it earlier, but hey, New Day on Raw broke that record.
God.
Broke Demolition's record. I think it was a long time coming. You know, I think most people now don't even know, especially, I mean, the younger fans now. I mean, they have no idea who Demolition is or who Demolition even was. When you think about it, I mean, they had a revolving roster themselves as far as, you know, who was part of the team. So kind of like, you know, like they were, you know, they use that free bird rule. You know, much to the chagrin of, like, you know, how New Day is using it, and even now, the Wyatt family,
the Wyatts,
yeah. So now we have like these two stables running the shows, you know, the tag teams, which has never really been done before, but in two very different kind of ways. But yeah, so New Day broke the record. I'm pretty happy that they did. I mean, I know I'm gonna get a lot of hate, but I was never really a big fan of Demolition. I was always kind of a little put off by their costumes.
Ooh.
And so I'm happy that they broke it, because it's kind of
talking shit about Axe to Smash, huh?
It kind of, you know,
Fat Kiss.
That's how, you know, Crush. they were even fat in the video game. Like, there was never no like muscle tone to any of those guys and anything that they ever got put in. But
I think it was a long time coming for them. I mean, the New Day really took these are three guys that creative was doing nothing with, and they put something together, and when it didn't necessarily hit right away, they evolved it into something else, and it took off. I mean, it took off as heels quicker than anything I've seen in a long time, and then when they transitioned over to baby faces, it just went over the top.
They
got their own cereal now.
Do you even remember who New Day beat to win these tag team titles?
Honest to God, no.
They're not even a tag team anymore.
No, I don't know.
The Shield?
Nope, not the Shield.
Who was it?
It was the Primetime Players.
Oh, shit, you're right.
Yep, they beat the Primetime Players, ending their first run as tag team champions. Also in that match, I think it was a triple threat tag team match. Also in that match, Cesaro and Tyson Kidd were in that match.
So airing right now while we record is the tribute to the troops. And I did see a small clip from it. Apparently we get New Day versus the Wyatts versus the Shield as a teaser. Nothing happens, but they're just backstage and they're teasing a match between all three teams.
Very, very nice.
Now, the Primetime Players, was that this run? Because we know the two-time champions. They beat him for the first time or the second time?
They beat him for the second time.
So who did they win the titles from originally?
The first time they got the titles, and then I felt like they beat Cesaro and Tyson Kidd.
Yeah, I think so.
I can look at the title history real quick, and I'll figure it out.
I'm sorry, I'm not trying to throw you off. I was trying to figure out who it was.
I actually have it pulled up. I'm just having a hard time looking for it.
Hard time, baby.
Oh, I'm going.
You know when Matt Salgado has a hard time on the internet and he can't find anything other than porn? That's hard times, baby.
It's literally really hard times.
There you go.
So, okay, here's how it goes. Tyson Kidd and Cesaro were champions. New Day defeated them April 26th to get their first tag team championship. They lost the titles to the Primetime Players on June 14th. Of 2015, regained the titles just a month later, August 23rd, 2015. Yep, there we go. That's how they got the titles back.
Gotcha.
Awesome.
Hot times, baby.
Hot times, baby.
So on top of that, there's also something on Jericho and KO breakup. So aww, that's been a long time coming. Also going around the internet, if most people have already seen it, I think we shared it a few times ourselves. But there's a video of Kevin Owens telling off a little kid. And
God.
That's so great.
So good.
And the mother wrote this Facebook post, you know, super upset, whatever.
But Owens' response was epic.
And I like most everybody's responses was just like, that's his job. He's a bad guy.
So, and I know exactly why she's doing it. If you guys remember, there was a Raw probably last year where there was a little kid in the front row who got super upset. I don't even remember what it was, but he got super upset over something. And Triple H, off camera, went over there and hugged the kid and consoled him. And then they took him backstage, and he got a bunch of autographs and free shit. So I know that she's just trying to pander to it because it's happened before. And even Kevin Owens called it out on it.
Yeah.
Even better than him ripping the kid. And it's funny because I showed it to a lot of people at work. I'm like, my kids are such marks like me that if that happened to them, they would just be, I mean, so jacked that it happened. Like, holy crap, Kevin Owens talked shit to me.
And,
it's so amazing.
They probably laugh at him.
Yeah, and they probably talk crap back to him to try to egg him on.
You know, what's
but even better than that, did you see the video of him or the picture of him face down on the ramp?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. His response was classic.
Yeah,
I love the because he shared that picture of him face down on the ramp, and then he shared that picture again with the caption that says, "When the restaurant tells you we don't sell steak at this hour," so he was not taking it serious at all.
So I'm glad that he didn't like go super after the wife. I mean, the mom. Because he could have just tore her apart. At the same time, too, the mom definitely overreacted because the kid didn't look that upset in the video. If anything, I think like the parents are more upset at the fact that Kevin Owens was like, well, why are you wearing a Roman Reigns t-shirt? You know, if you're my fan, why are you wearing a Roman Reigns t-shirt?
There's a video. I don't know if you saw it. There's a video going around. Is right when the kid turns around with that kind of half smile on his face, everything gets real gray and it zooms in on the kid and starts playing The Sound of Silence.
Oh, great.
It's probably one of the best things I've ever seen.
That's amazing. So moving over to SmackDown, we have a new number one contenders. We have a couple of new number one contenders. New tag team contender, number one contenders in the Hype Bros. They won a tag team battle royal. And Dolph Ziggler, hey, is our number one contender for the world title.
You'll nice. On
AJ Styles sometime in the future when AJ Styles' ankle heals. That's still going on. He's still pretty banged up from TLC, I believe. So, which we didn't even get to talk about because I missed last week's episode. But who called that James Ellsworth heel turn?
I'm just
throwing it out there. James
Ellsworth couldn't compete because, according to Daniel Bryan, he had a little chin fluenza this week.
That was great.
Yeah. I mean, that's the best thing that's come of this guy is the puns.
Plenty of chin puns. So, you know, overall, pretty good promo. Promo material, I guess, from both shows. We got a great go home from Raw. I felt it wasn't
one of the best Raws in a while.
Yeah, I mean, we've been so disappointed with go home Raws the past couple of times. This was a nice change up. It felt pretty good.
Sami Zayn and Mick was amazing.
Yeah, great hype work for Charlotte versus Sasha.
Yep.
And then SmackDown going forward and naming new contenders is even more exciting. So
I knew right away we were going to get that double New Day. As soon as that stupid stuff happened backstage, I called it to my wife. I was like, this is happening. I text you. Yeah. I said, this is about to happen. They're going to defend again.
Now, did you think they were going to lose?
I didn't, especially with the people they put them up against. You're not going to have granted Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins were a tag team together, but at this point they're manufactured tag team. You're not going to have manufactured tag teams end an epic streak like that and take it away from them.
Yeah.
So I knew that they weren't. I figured that they were going to probably try to cheat to win like they've been doing a little bit here and there. But they kind of did holding people so they didn't get back in. You know, it wasn't necessarily cheating, but it was them playing the way they play. But yeah, I knew we were going to get that second match, and it was a great second match. Like, I loved the main event.
It was really good. So let's go into some roadblock predictions. How's that sound?
Did you see, I know you called it out. They hit the shatter machine.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. I called it on Twitter.
And, the Revival, I think it was, Scott Dawson tweeted a picture of a GIF of them doing the shatter machine and stating that Jericho stole their move. And Jericho just tried to shred him on Twitter. He's like, you know what? Just a typical moment of young guys not showing respect to the guys who paved the way for him.
You know, the Revival should have realized that Jericho invented that.
He invented everything, right? He invented this podcast.
Exactly. He invented the podcast.
He invented Proven Gamer.
Hey,
you know, Jeremy has a point.
I'm going to go on my list in a second.
If you go deep into the HTML code, you can see Y2J, Save Us Y2J, embedded in the background.
Great.
Actually, you can. Funny thing is, the first time I actually made Proven Gamer, because anybody doesn't know, I own Proven Gamer, and I built the entire site from ground up. Everything you see, the code and everything, the theme. I built all that. The first time I actually built Proven Gamer, I actually built it into the site, and nobody ever caught it, but I actually put Save Us Y2J on the site. So if you yes. looked on the site in the right spot, you could actually see it say Save Us Y2J.
All right.
Nobody ever caught it.
That's yes. amazing. So I'm going to have to definitely go look for it. I'm going to go look for it if I find it.
A little Easter egg.
No, it's not there anymore. No, because nobody caught it. Therefore, I was like, when I was writing the new code for the new site, I left it out. But the original build, if somehow you can go back and see pictures of it, it's on the front page. It does say it in there.
That's awesome. So, hey, this Sunday we got another pay per view coming up. Me and Jeremy brought it up at the beginning of the show. Roadblock, what's it called? At the end of the line.
End of the line.
Oh my god.
Again, I don't feel like it needed a tagline. It just should have been Roadblock. There was no subtitle needed.
Roadblock. On the pre-show, we got Big Cass versus Rusev on the main card. Moving right along, we have Sami Zayn versus Braun Strowman. Then we have a triple threat cruiserweight title match between Rich Swann defending his title against TJ Perkins and the Brian Kendrick. Then we have Seth Rollins versus Chris Jericho. Then we have a 30-minute Iron Woman match for the Raw Women's title. Sasha Banks defending her title against Charlotte. And then the main event of the night, which I'm pretty sure will be the main event of the night, will be Kevin Owens defending his title against Roman Reigns. So I think a decent build, nothing too spectacular other than the Iron Woman match. That's definitely
it's a good build
right
for
now.
A B-tier pay-per-view.
Yeah, exactly. I'm hoping the cruiserweight match gets a little bit, you know, goes well with the fans. I think we're, you know, as far as in the live crowd in a different arena, I think it kind of failed to. I think they failed to like hit with fans because they go through the whole taping the rope process and doing that. And it kind of strains the weight process. Big Cass versus Rusev. Who do you got? Who do you got, Jeremy?
Cass.
You're so excited for this match.
It's a match. I don't know, man. Like, we could be doing so much more with Enzo and Cass.
But what about this? I think they kind of are doing a little.
I'm glad they're predominant. They have a big story that they're taking over. But seriously, man, like, this team could be doing so much more. I'd rather see them in number one contender matches and stuff like that than going in total diva storylines, essentially.
Exactly. I mean, if you look at this card, there's not a tag team match on this card.
No, at all. We got it all Monday night.
Yeah, we got it
so
all
we're
Monday
not,
night.
New Day's not defending at all. We don't have anything going on. We could set a number one contender.
This is starting to be a little bit
New
of
Day,
a...
New Day is defended.
This is starting to be a little bit of like a little bit of a habit where they don't even have New Day on there. I'll pull up the Wikipedia. If it's not updated, it's not updated, but maybe I didn't see it.
I'm looking at WWE.com right now. This New Day is going against Cesaro and Sheamus.
Okay, so they must have just added that then, because they didn't even announce anything on Raw.
And I don't know if you mentioned before, but Sami Zayn versus Braun Strowman is also happening too.
Yeah. Maybe they were like, hey, we didn't book the New Day. Give them a match.
Holy shit.
Holy shit.
Dolph Ziggler's not on there because we would have gotten Dolph Ziggler against Kofi somehow.
Did anybody check the Wikipedia?
Well, I'm sure they couldn't advertise the match until New Day, successfully defended the second time.
Yeah. So I got, who'd you say, Jeremy? Rusev?
I'm going to go with Cass, I guess.
Cass. I'm going with Rusev on this one.
So am I.
I don't really care. As long as Lana's there, we all win. Yes. On the main card, Sami Zayn versus Braun Strowman. This is going to turn out to be, I think, he pushed for this match for the past couple of weeks, I think over at least a month since the last show. So, but I think Sami Zayn's going to get his ass handed to him. You know,
yeah, Sami Zayn sells. He sells getting destroyed better than anybody else in the company. You remember his matches with Samoa Joe where he was just out of energy and couldn't do anything?
Samoa Joe or Kevin Owens? Kevin Owens.
Both. He didn't get to go against Samoa Joe there, did he?
No, he was always injured. He was always injured. So, who you got, Chicky?
I got Rusev.
No, who you got between Sami Zayn and Braun Strowman?
Well,
Rusev.
I'm sorry.
Rusev's going to interfere in this match.
No, you know what it is. I was looking at WWE.com, and that's the picture that's up. The Sami Zayn match. In order for Sami to win, all he has to do is last the 10 minutes. I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I forgot about
that.
I think that Sammy, I mean, if he doesn't get close to the 10 minutes, I think he'll last the 10 minutes. But some reason, I think Strowman will just, like, completely destroy him, like, in the ninth minute before he hits the 10th. But I think Sammy will ultimately make the 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting match. Triple threat cruiserweight title match. We have Rich Swann defending his title against TJ Perkins and the Brian Kendrick. I got Rich Swann defending his title.
I'm going with Rich Swann. I'd like to pick TJ Perkins on this one, but I don't see the point of switching it. Like, it's not time to take that off of somebody. We need
to leave that title on
somebody for a little while. We took it off of TJ Perkins really quick. Then we took it off of Brian Kendrick really quick. We're going to start diminishing value. We've always said one of the best things that Ring of Honor has ever done is build longtime champions. And playing hot potato between three people, I can understand it amongst the women right now, amongst Charlotte and Sasha, because their rivalry has come to that point. But we're at a brand new rivalry. We've got a triple threat for the sake of just having a triple threat. It's got to stay on Rich Swann.
Yeah. I hope it does.
I think it's going to be Rich Swann, but I got to be honest with you guys. The cruiserweight division is kind of losing my interest altogether.
They're not pushing it as hard and heavy as they were, and it's. I agree. I remember when they first came to Raw, it was the one thing that I wanted to watch, and it's still one of my favorite things to watch, but I don't have that moment of just being giddy, like, holy shit, we're about to see something cool. I was like, yeah, you know what? They're making them succumb to the WWE style a little bit more. We're not getting quite as over the top. Now, it's getting more interesting. I'm more interested in what's going on with Daivari and Gallagher than I am what's going on in the title picture.
Yeah.
Not even that, but it's also, like, I think the fact that they gave them their own show, 205 Live, and I think, you know, that you're going to get more of the action on 205 Live than you are on Raw, but I think until people know who the hell these wrestlers are, you really need to feature them on Raw.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, on Raw, you're getting the same people over and over again.
It's the TJ Perkins, Rich Swann, Kendrick show.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm liking what's going on with, like, Gallagher and stuff. Is Gallagher's a new face. We've got something different happening. Daivari's technically a new face. You know, we're not getting him. It was more originally we got a lot of Drew Gulak and Tony Nese and Cedric Alexander. We're not getting the same guys in those matches as much. And that's why the secondary storylines going on with the cruiserweights are more interesting to me right now.
And the only thing I know about Cedric Alexander is that for some reason Alicia Fox isn't fascinated with him, and
that
she's
was so
going
stupid.
And she's going after
Bailey.
Oh, Bailey! That's all I know of Cedric Alexander anymore.
Yeah.
Like I didn't even know that Alicia Fox was falling for him until I saw her do a backstage interview with Bailey. I'm like, what? What's going on here?
This is a thing now.
Yeah. I think the problem is they pigeonholed him into this division, which is something that WWE never really believed in the first place, was like these so-called divisions. Before, it was always everybody's in the same class, anybody can win anything. So to keep these guys and hinder them to this cruiserweight division where they're not even being touched by the rest of the roster, you know, it's kind of like they are a completely separate brand within Raw itself. And then they have the show on top of that, which initially, yeah, was a great idea, but maybe just keep him to the show. Maybe just keep him to 205 Live. Because if you're not going to have him interact with the rest of the roster, like even like the heavyweights, like how great of a match would like Cedric Alexander versus Seth Rollins be? I think that'd be a great match. But right? if you're just going to keep him within the division, then what's the point of just having him? You know, why have him a part of Raw? Because Raw is 3 hours when Raw already has an insane roster. But for whatever reason, you know, they shoot themselves in the foot every Monday night as far as booking a show, because we do 45 minutes of recaps and, you know, maybe 30 minutes of matches and another 50 minutes of talking.
Is 205 Live actually live?
No.
Okay.
This week's show was taped after or before Raw.
And I was gonna say, because the fact that they put it on after SmackDown kind of goes against the purpose of the fact that cruiserweights are supposed to be on Raw. I haven't actually watched 205 Live yet.
You know, you've got these guys. We've got a tag team division on Raw that is really only centering around three teams right now. You don't have you any B-tier stories or anything going on there. Why not use... You've got guys like Drew Gulak and Tony Nese who have been working together as a tag team. Why not put them in tag team matches? Why not get them in, inserted in the tag team division somehow? Yeah. You know, there's so much that they could do with these guys. Like you said, throw Seth Rollins and Cedric Alexander. It doesn't even have to be for a storyline. I mean, for God's sakes, what makes Ring of Honor amazing is the lack of storylines. And that's what drives storylines, ironically, is because we're not writing over stuff over and over again. Whereas in WWE, it's storyline crazy. It's like someone... It's like the episode of South Park where they're talking about how Simpsons picks their episodes and they've got the squid that just grabs random stuff. That's what I feel like happens with WWE.
So, moving right along. That was good. Seth Rollins versus Chris Jericho. We have a nice little storyline building there. And then a sub-storyline after that with, you know, Jericho and Kevin
calling
Owens.
Calling out Triple H.
Yeah, and that Seth too, Rollins yeah. calling out Triple H. So, we'll see what definitely happens there and what sets up for maybe something that will happen at the Rumble that will lead to a match at Mania. So, I guess we're finally going to get that match between Rollins and Triple H will probably end up happening at WrestleMania 33. So I got Seth Rollins on this one.
So do I.
Yeah. 30-minute Iron Man or Iron Woman match for the Raw Women's title between Sasha Banks and Charlotte. I think it's finally time. I think Charlotte's streak is going to come to an end as far as winning single matches at pay-per-views. I think Sasha's going to walk out champ in this one.
I'm going Sasha with this one as well.
Yeah.
I'm gonna throw a little twist to this. I think it ends in a tie and Sasha retains.
That could happen. I could see that happening. Further the story along.
I think it's gonna end in a tie.
And that's a good point because when you watch the promos for this, one of the taglines in the promo is that this is to end the rivalry.
Right.
So what a better swerve to get than a tie. Like I like that idea.
Yeah. That could work.
All I know is if I'm correct about this, you're going to see me on Twitter like this.
Just do the yes.
Yeah, yes. For the listeners who didn't see that, I just stuck my hands up.
And in our main event of the night, we have Kevin Owens defending his Universal World Championship against Roman Reigns. Who do you guys got in this one?
Roman Reigns.
Owens.
We got Reigns.
No, I'm going Owens.
You're going Owens?
Yeah,
they're not making Reigns a double champion.
No, they're not, and it would not make sense as far as to have Roman go into this time of the year as champion. And as funny as it would be, if Roman did win, I think I'd get more of a kick out of it than anything because I'm like, whoa.
I would enjoy the hell out of it, just the smart-ass jab of it. Like, hey, here we are again, Roman Reigns the champ.
Just sticking it to the smart.
What are you nerds going to do about it now?
What are you nerds going to do about it, going to cry about it on the internet?
I think Owens will stay champion until Finn Balor gets back.
I think so, too. The big rumor is that if we all see that Sami Zayn's staying on Raw now, so the big rumor is that at WrestleMania we're supposed to get a triple threat between Owens, Balor, and Sami Zayn for the title. Sami Zayn will be your rightful number one contender, whether he wins the Royal Rumble or an Elimination Chamber, whatever it may be after, and then Finn Balor will come back and make his claim saying that I never lost it.
Yeah,
so you end up with all three of them together. Which, God, that's such an indie darling wet dream right there.
Yeah, it is. That'd be an amazing WrestleMania match.
Jumping ahead a second, does anybody see a surprise entrant of Finn Balor in the Rumble?
Let's get to that. So there was one thing I brought up before we started. I want to play a little game today. I've got a ton of rumors that are showing up in the rumor mill. I'm going to read these off. I want you guys to give me the likelihood of this happening on a scale of 1 to 10. So we'll lead off with that because that was one of the ones that I had. Finn Balor showing up in the Royal Rumble.
Sorry, I didn't mean to spoil that. I actually just had that.
No, it was a perfect segue.
That was a great segue. Finn Balor showing up in the Rumble, I give that an 8.
So a 10 being it's definitely going to happen?
Yep, yeah. 10 being high likelihood.
I would say a 6 or a 7 because I don't think they want to rush him back. Even if he's cleared, I don't think they want to rush him back and potentially get him hurt again.
So Finn Balor did a radio interview recently, and he's walking around without the sling. And they asked him about showing up at Rumble, and he said, no, I'm probably not going to be at Rumble, but I definitely will be at WrestleMania. And he's already been released. The promo pictures have been released with him in the demon outfit. So, but I, again, they like to swerve us, and that would be the perfect time for him to return. So,
it'd be a great swerve.
I think that would work out. NXT call-ups. Samoa Joe showing up in the main roster before Rumble or at Rumble?
At the Rumble 10.
Trick.
Tricky at the showing Rumble up 10. At, Tricky showing up at the Rumble 2.
2. Bubba Ray Dudley returning.
I'm going to give that a 3.
Yeah, I'll give that a 3 as well.
And these are all, keep in mind, these are all rumors that there's been some sort of talks between these guys. There's been something happening that has spurred these rumors to move forward. So they're not just me making up shit. Another one, Kurt Angle returning in 2017.
10.
I'm going to say a 2.
Kurt Angle is apparently in talks with WWE at this moment to return. Whether it's for the video game or for the active roster is still unclear. But
can I say, can
elaborate
I say
on your 2?
Part of the company, 7. Active roster, 2.
2. I could see that. Yeah. Okay.
Active roster, I would say a 7. I think he wants his last match to be inside of a WWE ring.
I think I he does too.
Yeah, I'm sure that he does want to be part and just
but it's the guys
further,
who pull the strings.
But it's the guy who pulls the strings, and if they're not letting somebody like a Daniel Bryan, you know, compete, if you know they're in the same boat as telling Edge, hey, you have to retire, I don't see how Vince would ever or
is Angle
is.
Hurt?
Angle's been hurt.
He's just injury prone.
That neck is like
mush.
Insane. Yeah.
Well, I know his neck problems, but I'm just saying, is he like actively hurt where he was told he can't wrestle?
I don't think
again?
Right now, no. But I think they would be worried about getting him in there, especially with what happened with Sting.
Liability wise, yeah, especially like something that happened with Sting. Like liability wise, I think they'd hate to see another legend go down the way that Sting went down.
I don't know though, but I could see them doing like a one off, like they are with Goldberg.
Yeah. Well, it was a one off. You know, it was supposed to be a one off with Sting, and then he came back for another match, and
or they could do what they did with Bret Hart and just put him in the match, but hardly have him do anything.
Put so him here's in the match a and have Goldberg kick him in the head.
Yep.
Got it.
So here's a weird random one, but there's a slight bit of merit to this. Roman Reigns versus Conor McGregor.
I give that a 1.
I agree.
Yeah.
The original idea was that WWE wanted to have a double champion like UFC had with Conor McGregor, and then they apparently went south on this when Conor McGregor relinquished that title.
Oh, okay.
So that got rumored real quick that was possibly happening. Goldberg inducted into the Hall of Fame this year. Or next year, I should say.
10.
Absolutely, I agree. Brock Lesnar versus Shane McMahon.
That has to happen, but I feel like maybe due to recent events in Shane, maybe a 6.
Right.
I would say Shane's crazy enough. I put that as an 8 or a 9.
Oh, I think Shane would totally do it. But as far as physicality-wise, I don't know if he's going to be up to do anything anytime soon.
Paige gets released.
9.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I was putting that. I'd put that as a 6 or a 7. I don't think her staying with Alberto Del Rio is going to last too long.
No, I think they're keeping her on as far as making sure she gets healed up and all her medical stuff is taken care of. And I think once that's done, they're going to let her go. You know, WWE, for what it is, like lately, they don't want to be looked down or looked bad against, especially if somebody's hurt or hurting and needs a surgery. And like, it's going to be something shitty if like somebody's neck was busted up and they're like, oh, you're fired. Go get it fixed up on your own. So I think they're going to let her heal up and make sure she's okay. And if she's okay to good to go, I think they're going to just, you know, let her go and do her own thing.
So Big Show versus Shaq at WrestleMania 33.
Oh, 10. That has to happen. 10.
You're right.
That's already been foreshadowed.
Yeah. Big Show, I mean, he's talked about this is going to be probably his last WrestleMania.
His retirement, yeah.
So what better way to do it? And they set it up last year with him and Shaq, so you got to do it.
Trish Stratus return in 2017.
2017. How many months pregnant is she?
I don't know.
Is she
honestly.
One? I think she's 1 month pregnant. So seven. I say two because I think that's a really, really
the pregnancy.
A really fast turnaround, especially with her.
Now we didn't mention it. Mickie James signed a long term contract.
Yep.
And is returning to SmackDown.
Yep. I think that's a great fit for her. I think SmackDown's a good fit to have a great veteran, especially mixed in with a lot of the veterans there. It's such a good – they got a good roster there as far as women talent on SmackDown. That's a good – and you don't want to distract anything from the Sasha Charlotte show. So
right, exactly.
You got to do what you got to do.
What do you define, say to Trish, Mick?
Define return. Are you talking about to wrestle or
let's
to,
just say return to the company.
I'd say she definitely returns to the company. I would put that as a – I'd put that as a 7 or an 8. But as far as wrestling, I don't think you'll see her wrestle again.
So we did get it announced that Cassius Ohno or Chris Hero is returning to WWE. He is signing a contract. There's a couple other rumors of guys on the indie circuit that are looking. Adam Cole. What are the likelihood that we see Adam Cole in a WWE ring in 2017?
I say 9.
9? I think so, yeah. Too.
I don't even know who Adam Cole is.
He's the current leader of the Bullet Club and just lost the Ring of Honor Championship. Young Bucks
to Kyle return. O'Reilly.
Oh, okay. I don't know enough about Ring of Honor to speak on that.
Matt, Young Bucks return?
What do you mean Young Bucks return?
I mean not return, debut.
Debut, WWE?
Yep.
One.
One, yeah, I think so too.
They love that Japan money, man. They're making so much money being able to do things like on their schedule, you know, working Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That's
Cody
that's
becomes the leader of the Bullet Club.
8.
8, yeah. I think that's going to happen too. And there's a couple guys in TNA whose contracts are coming up. One of which, one name that's being tossed around, is the likelihood of a return of EC3.
I don't see EC3 going back to WWE. I'd have to say
I think
three.
They would want him, but I don't think he would want to go back.
Yeah, no, I think he's doing all right, you know, doing what he's doing now. But yeah, I think he got so burnt out by everybody there. I feel like he wouldn't want to go back.
And Moose becomes a TNA champion.
10.
I think so, too. So, and there's another bit of news that we didn't even touch on. Today, Booker T submitted his formal letter announcing that he is running for the mayor of Houston.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
So fun little game. I'm gonna pull some more together probably next month. It's fun to kind of let them pull up like that. I'm going to do that again. There's just so much going on. And I know right before the Rumble, we're going to have a lot more. We did get a little bit of announcement from Shelton Benjamin stating that he is on the road to recovery and that he is returning to WWE without question as soon as he's recovered.
Awesome. That's good to know. That's great to hear.
And again, of course, it's Royal Rumble season, and we're already getting rumors again of Carlito returning.
Always. It's always Carlito.
What the hell is it Shelton. With Royal Rumbles it's and always, Carlito
It's Carlito, Shelton
rumors.
Benjamin. You know, it's the Magic Three. It's Carlito, Shelton Benjamin, and Johnny Mundo.
Oh, here's one for you. Likelihood of an MVP return.
One.
Not going to happen.
I don't know. It was apparently pretty big a couple months ago.
He blew it. I think he blew the physical or something. Something.
Oh,
bad.
That's right. I think I forgot about that.
Yeah, something happened where he didn't pass something. And you remember he got fired from Lucha Underground because he was talking spoilers with in a radio interview. And they're like, dude, you're fired. What are you doing? you haven't even filmed an episode and you're over here spoiling everything already. Like, I guess he was like talking about like backstage storylines and everything like that. And then something like Lucha Underground is completely different because it's more of a show than like wrestling. So like that's like, you know,
it'd be like Andrew Lincoln spoiling The Walking
Dead.
Yeah,
that's about to say. Exactly. I was about to say that's like being Andrew Lincoln. And
hey, just so you guys know, Glenn gets killed.
Hey. All right. You threw out some things. I want to throw out a question to you, gentlemen.
Go ahead.
What do you think the likeliness that TNA survives 2017?
Not under that name. I would bet someone buys them out and changes the brand. I would say that the band stays together somehow. You keep those group of wrestlers together, but I don't think the actual company TNA stays together.
As far as what we have now, I think this is – by this time next year, there will be no company named TNA running shows.
I could see them being rebranded under someone else's paycheck.
It hurts me to say that because I do like TNA at the moment. I think what they're doing now is – pretty fun to watch, but it's too little too late. You know, this is stuff that they should have been doing a while back.
I honestly think that TNA is dead in the water. And that, if anything, Vince should buy it out and bring them in. Like he did with WCW and ECW.
Yeah, I think there's another company called Flow Sports out there that would probably benefit. And if they're able to buy, if they were able to buy that tape library, then something like Flow Sports or Flow Slam, I could see their numbers like going insane. That'd be
absolutely
great for them. That'd be great for them. So, gonna wrap up the show here. Tricky, you got any shout outs you want to do?
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to everybody at Proven Gamer. I don't know if you guys listened to Trophy Horrors, but on last week's show, which actually is 2 week show now, as you guys are hearing this, I offered up my a certain part of my body for torture. Yeah, Jeremy's the eyes out. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Inspired by Jeremy, I said if the Proven Gamer team hit their Extra Life goal of $1,500, that I would get an Extra Life tattoo. And then I was kind of goaded in by my podcast brethren to get a tramp stamp. So I offered that if Proven Gamer as a team raises $2,000, that I will get a DualShock 4 tattooed as a tramp stamp. So,
what are we at now? What's the total now?
Thankfully, we're only at $1,200.
You got $800 that you need for a tramp stamp.
God, when's the deadline? I got taxes coming up.
It has to be by the end of the year, and two, I also said no. Proven Gamer employee is allowed to donate the money themselves.
I'll just give the money to someone else.
It has to come from the community. So, but yeah, give a shout out to my Horseman brothers on Trophy Horrors. And shout out to you guys for bringing me on the show finally after months.
It's great to have you on.
I bring you guys on to my show and I have to wait 3 months to come on your show. You know, there's a little bit of a disparity here.
We had that Vince ego and that NXT issue going on, so we had to find the right time to bring you in. You know, we couldn't bring you in as a face. We had to find the time to bring you in as a heel via satellite. So
yeah, I had to come in on your terms, not my terms.
Tricky had to sell his naming rights to us. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
Jeremy, you got any shout outs you want to do before I close the doors on this thing?
Close the doors, man. Shout out to, it's funny because I went through the outro last week and my son gave a shout out to Austin Creed, Xavier Woods in the middle of it. And I actually wrote Xavier Woods and let him know that, hey man, my 11-year-old son, not only when he was on the podcast did he gush about the New Day and how much he loves you guys, but then he interrupted me and gave a shout out to Up Up Down Down. And he wrote me back and let me know that, hey, it's because you raised him right. So, shout out to Austin Creed for a cool little back and forth. You know, just same old shout outs, and make sure you guys are listening to Trophy Whores and any of the other podcasts on the Proven Gamer Network, man. We wouldn't be doing what we're doing right now if we weren't signed on with them. I mean, we would, but just to ourselves, probably.
Yeah. I want to give a shout out to my wife, who's currently holding my son right now and keeping him company because I can hear him going crazy in the living room. And shout out to Tom Quaid. He's helped us out tremendously getting started with the show, especially hooking us up with equipment and just getting our name out there. He has a podcast himself. It's not part of the Proven Gamer Network, but it's called Live and Amplified, and he goes through and interviews bands that are coming through our little area, which is amazing. So he's 18 episodes deep in. He does about 3 episodes a week. It's pretty awesome. Quick little short interviews with up-and-coming talent, which is amazing. He got to interview my friend's band. They're a heavy metal group called Amy's Not Breathing. If you're into heavy metal, screamo metal, check out Amy's Not Breathing online. You can find them on Facebook, SoundCloud, all that fun stuff. And they're a really great band. They were on episode 16, and he's on episode 17. So I was wrong. 17 episodes, but good stuff there for Tom. And on that note, remember, guys, you can send us your questions, which we didn't have any this week, by following us on Twitter at @smart_marks. You're more can follow us on Twitter as well. Follow Jeremy at JVader82. You can follow me at Mateo83. You can follow Tricky at TrickyMick.
Yes.
Boom, done, got it. Search for the Smart Marks fan page on Facebook. There you can interact with us and other fans of the show. Show us your favorite memes. Send us questions. No dick pics, please. Also, look for us on Tumblr.
Send those to Tricky.
Send us a tricky. Even if you need to above and avoid social media altogether, you can still email us your questions to smartmarksquestions@provergamer.com and smartmarksquestions@gmail.com. Also follow us on Instagram. Good stuff. Hey, Tricky, does Proven Gamer have a Instagram yet? Trophy Horse?
No, they will never have one.
Come on, guys. Come on.
Not happening. We hit the socials, but we don't hit it that hard.
Remember, you can stream, download, rate the show via iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, hopefully iHeartRadio sometime soon. Guys, if you shop through Amazon, please go to ProverGamer.com and go to the Amazon link there and click that link, then go shopping, do all your fun stuff there. I've been doing that. I've been clawing through ProverGamer.com, doing all my Christmas shopping through that website. So good stuff there. Thanks for tuning in, downloading peeps. Once again, I am Matt. That is Jeremy on one end, and on the other end, especially on the other end of this country, we got Tricky Mick, and we'll catch you guys next time on the Smart Marks. Peace out.